Hi, this is Gary Baker. I'm here with Ed Riddell. And Ed, the other two members of the posse are not here today.
Yeah, we got to fill in a lot of airtime. But, you know, you and I can talk, Gary. That's one thing we can do.
You know, not as well as Foster. Somehow he always keeps it moving so quickly. And we have so much fun. And we hope that things are well with him and that he'll recover from this little procedure that he had yesterday.
So. Yes.
You know, I noticed a bunch of things that came up towards the end of last month and then realized that the month of October was cyberbullying month.
You know, I didn't even know that.
I didn't either. And we should have done this earlier in the month when it was October and cyberbullying month. But it's never too late to talk about this subject because while there's always been bullying,
yes,
right, going back to probably the first caveman that, pushed somebody else out of the cave, right?
Yeah.
You know, it seems like it's taken on a kind of a different role now because you can do it so anonymously with technology today.
And the person seems to have the freedom to say whatever they want with no filters, and they can be as mean as they want and say things that they may not even understand.
And so many other people can see it and hear it and that's, I guess, the way technology proliferates those comments.
Right. And usually children at that age just have no idea of the consequences of their words. That's really not something that children comprehend. They don't understand long-term impacts. And that's in their child development. That doesn't really happen until they're 19, 22 years old.
Yeah. You know, and maybe not then.
And maybe
a lot of people that not then.
But here we have children that are 8 years old. Well, usually it's at the puberty time frame, so between the ages of 11 and 16, that they bully each other.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing that as we look through some of this, and a great resource is cyberbullying.org that you came up with. There's a resource page there for parents as well as for students and younger kids to really try to help them understand what this does to people, how devastating it can be.
Yeah, and it's a resource. And if you were to go to Bing or Google and just type in cyberbullying, I believe both internet search providers have tailored the searches. They've removed the ads pretty much completely, mm-hmm. and they've taken you just to those resources that are, you know, beneficial for you to provide the information as quickly as possible. And you said earlier cyberbullying, and it's just like regular bullying. And I remember something that you said that you did with your family all those years ago, and when you gave your kids technology, whether it is a laptop or a tablet or a phone, you basically also gave them the instructions that at any time you are to surrender that device so dad or mom can inspect it.
That's right. Yeah, that was the way. So it just happened that Lauren was on her computer, and we don't let her do that in her room. And now she's 24 years old and moved out of state, actually. But as she was getting her first computer and whatnot, she would chat with her friends, and she walked away, and I happened to, you know, turn around and look at what was on her screen. Mm-hmm. And then a little while later, I mentioned it to her, and she said, "Dad, how did you know that?" And I said, "You know, it's on the internet. I can tell everything." And she kind of went, "Oh, boy, I better not put anything on there that I don't want my mom or dad to see." And boy, did that work well. Not so much with my son, but it worked with my daughter. So
well, the point is, I guess if before your children are, when you introduce them to technology, you lay the ground rules so they understand.
That's right.
And so many parents just give technology to the children without having that discussion. And I took that lesson to my children and said, at any time I'm working on your computers, you won't believe the stuff I see on computers. I service computers all the time. People ask me to rescue data. I have to go into their internet history because I have to save their favorites. I see this stuff. And I said, I could tell what's on your computer. So don't do things that you wouldn't do. And this is one of your phrases that you wouldn't do if grandma was sitting right next to you.
That's right. You know, and it's, you know, as we looked at some of the different resources and whatnot, I found backgroundcheck.org.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not something that I would normally go to, but one thing that did catch my eye, and it was because of cyberbullying month last month, and that was they had looked at the different components and attributes of what some of the conversations and some of the tweets and some of the, because it is all visible, some of the Facebook posts. And they determined, they used a pretty sophisticated ranking to rank the worst bullying states in the nation.
Oh.
And Michigan is one of the top 10. We don't want to be the top 10 in this category.
Not in this, no.
But Louisiana, Idaho, for some reason, got up there. Arkansas, West Virginia, Nebraska, Michigan, Mississippi, Tennessee, Kentucky, South Dakota are the worst 10 states. And, you know, that's a list we want to get off of. So people listening to us, you know, anywhere that they're listening, talk to your kids. Make sure you don't do it. It's not just children.
Oh, you know, right? That's true. You got this,
and that's what they pointed out in that article. It's not just children.
That's true. I mean, you have, think of the people that are screaming on the sidelines in sports activities. You know, sometimes they could take it too far. And yeah, it's just not the children exactly. And a lot of times children lash out because of other troubles in their lives.
Yeah. So I don't know how to segue from cyberbullying into talking about other things that you find in social media. And obviously, this weekend before the election, Blend came up with just a great list of all the different chats and social media.
Oh, trends?
Media.
Going on right now with the chats? Oh,
and,
my gosh.
You know, what do you think the most talked about candidate scandals are?
Well, let's see. Email, groping.
Yep.
What else?
Groping was first. Email was second. Trump's tax return. Ben Scotty.
Oh, yeah.
It's still there. And then, you know, Bill Clinton's women. Problems as well. So what about like political issue buzzwords?
I would think the pipeline, the Indian pipeline, let's see, immigrants and, building that wall.
Yeah. Actually, immigrants was down 6, jobs and the economy.
Okay.
Right? Guns and police.
Oh, of course.
And we've had that problem, but then, you know, NAFTA, the trade, and then student debt, healthcare and climate change was way down 1%.
Really?
So I would have thought that would have been higher. But interesting, they talked about the emojis that were associated with different candidates. And, it's just interesting. Both of them had U.S. flag. That was wonderful
okay.
to see. There's thumbs down. There's an emoji with, you know, crying with laughter, muscle arm, poop swirl.
Oh.
That got right up there. That was
I bet you that
high.
Was right at the top.
So, and then the interesting other thing that I thought was interesting was that of all of the times that the different presidential candidates were mentioned, Trump was mentioned 74% of the time. Now, it doesn't say whether that was always good mention or always bad mention,
right.
But he was mentioned a lot more than Hillary, which was Secretary of State. Clinton was only mentioned 26%, so 74 to 26% of the time.
Well, he is a sensationalist.
Isn't he? One way or the other, you love him or you hate him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the last part that I saw was from the millennials talking, only 18% were talking about stamina, and 82% were talking about temperament and whether the candidates were
that's fit interesting. That's like
fit.
3 weeks old, yeah.
Yeah. So it just interesting, because all of this is out there, we can run different algorithms to pull out words, phrases, mm-hmm. emojis, in different ways to track what the conversation is online. And it's eye-opening in some ways. In other ways, pretty typical, especially this point. And I think a lot of people just want...
burned out.
Yeah, I just want this to be over, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, Thanksgiving dinner is going to be, you know, a restful place with, you know, turkey and mashed potatoes, and I get my pumpkin pie, and that'll be all behind me.
Yeah, yeah, and and then you can lie on the couch and sleep through the game.
Right, exactly.
Detroit Lions game. So anyway, I thought that was pretty interesting, and there's awful lot more. All you have to do is Google this stuff, and it pops up, and... you know, some of it's pretty eye-opening. Others is you go, yep, I knew that. Yep, knew that. Yep, yeah. Knew that. So, well, we have Mike Brennan coming up in his segment, this next segment, just before the top of the hour. We're going to talk to him a little bit. He not only tracks the news, he's making some news in this last week. So we'll have to tease him a little bit about that and actually talk about it, because it's something that I think is long overdue, and I'm glad that he's doing it. But we'll ask him about that.
Excellent.
I think we're going to try to interrupt him. I think he's actually at the game, so I think he'll step out of the stadium maybe and talk to us. This is the Internet Advisor Show. This is Gary Baker and Ed Riddell. We're going to take a short break and come back and talk to Mike Brennan of MyTech News.